for being almost prompt. We now move on to item four on the agenda, and if you remember, this is the time when I ceremoniously hand the gavel over to my vice chairman because I'm conflicted with the developer and the objector, so I'll be leaving the room. Could I please ask you to invite me back when you've finished?
Thank you, Richard. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, councillors. Now we're going to book our ideas up, aren't we? And we're going to get through this. It's not rocket science, although I'm beginning to think it might be. We come to item D, item 4, P/16/1229/2, Wishbone Lane, Mount Sorrel. Which of our officers is speaking to this? Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Would you like to begin, please?
Yeah, still me, still here, Councillor. Okay, this is an application for 8 dwellings. It's a development for those on the bus, this is the application site. This is the development, or the rest of the development, that has been completed. This is an area of car parking. This is a marina that was built as a flood attenuation package as part of the overall development. Bit of an aerial photograph, slightly... most of the houses, as I say, are shown there. A few aren't, and a bit of the landscaping isn't shown as well. So this, back in the year 2000, taking you back a while, we approved a master plan on this site. And this was the master plan that was approved, the original master plan, before the current developer came on board. And it shows an area of, and I'm just trying to get my bearings here. Thank you. So that the proposed application site is in approximately this location here. So what we're now proposing, and apologies that it flips around a little bit, but this is an application for 8 houses, and they're handily painted a yellowy colour. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, with some detached garages, because every... house has 2 parking spaces. We were there today. This is the development as it has been completed. So we're standing here in the car parking area, and some of the visitor spacing is here. This is the marina looking back across towards where we were standing. All the properties, as you can see, are pretty much individually designed. There are some copies, but again, there's a lot of individual styling, bricks, detailings, and all sorts of things. This is the road away from the application site, looking back to the development, and finally looking towards the application site, and again, showing the differences in solutions to the car parking. Some have drives, some have kind of garage styles along those kind of lines. As I say, it's a we think it's a very nice development. Again, these are some of the house types, or 2 of the house types that are proposed. Again, using individual signs, individual bricks. So the key issues are the principle of development, the design of the development and the character. You've seen some of the photos of how the development has been happening over the last 14, 15 years. Residential amenity, it's a tight physical relationship, but it still allows for the creation of private amenity and private garden space. Parking and highways, each house will have its own, have 2 car parking spaces. It's worth noting, councillors, as you, those of you on site will remember, it's a private development, so it's not none of the roads within the estate, and I use that term loosely, are adopted and are not to adoptable standards, so it comes under its own civil matter. The flood risk, there's no impact on any flood zones or anything on those car lines. The Environment Agency confirm that they haven't remodelled the flood zone to take account of the marina, so they're happy with that. And finally, on the Section 106 viability, and this is the principal reason why it's taken so long for this application to come to determination, because this has been built over a number of years, because of the increased design quality, because of actually things that have had to be put in place in terms of depth of foundations, remediation, and a number of other abnormal costs, the viability, unfortunately, because it doesn't allow us to seek additional contributions, that has been tested through the District Valuer's Service extensively. It's been going longer than I've been here at the Council, so to give you an idea. So well over a year now. So in our view, we've taken the view that the quality of the developments, the issues raised and those kind of things. One final thing on the parking issue, and I'll just go back to the master plan. You will have seen that on site, and you'll see obviously on the photographs, this area car parking has been implemented. This area car parking hasn't been implemented yet. That is the visitor spacing that is to be implemented. And further, I think it's one additional space is not available for use at this moment in time. So, as I say, that's what the condition 8, I think it is, in the recommendation, recommends that we complete the car parking as shown on the layout plan there. Other than that, Councillor, the recommendation is for approval. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
I'm sorry. I think I should have said something before. I know one of the speakers, but I haven't spoken to this person for about 4 or 5 years. I've worked with this person, so I felt that I maybe should have said it before. I haven't really thought about it.
Thank you. Councillor Harris, thank you for that. I will accept your intervention as a late declaration of interest. Thank you very much indeed. I have details of three other speakers. I have as objectors speaking Megan or Graham Pert, thank you. Shane Hackett from Black Hawk, thank you. And Councillor Richard Shepherd. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. So, Ms. Pert, would you like to come and speak to the committee now? Make sure you switch your microphone on. And make sure you speak into the microphone, then they can hear you at the back.
Okay.
You have 5 minutes. The light will go on as soon as you begin speaking. When you have a minute to go, I will warn you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan Pert, and I'm a Waterside resident. For the past decade, residents and their visitors have parked without stricture in the designated car parks, thus ensuring that the very narrow roads on the estate are not obstructed and that the already congested Loughborough Road is not affected, and this is how we would like it to remain. 10 years down the line, residents have now been informed that all the car parks are to be designated for visitors and marina users only. The reasons given are that the residents need to be forced to park on their own property and that cars belonging to visitors and marina users pose less risk of being flooded. Since the proposed additional parking is an extension of the existing car park that is built on the floodplain, but which has no such restrictions, this seems a contradiction. Residents are aware of the risks and would respond accordingly. The developers have told residents the car park is on private land and they will decide on its usage as they see fit. Such proposals will leave some residents with no option other than to park on the public highway. It is true that on paper all houses have at least two allocated parking spaces. However, some houses do not have the recommended parking spaces pro rata to bedrooms and do not meet Charnwood's vehicle parking standards, with an estimated shortfall of some 12 spaces. Furthermore, the Waterside Association submission clearly evidences that these spaces are not always fit for purpose or are not in line with recommended criteria. Please note that the statement in the officer's planning report is not fully accurate, as the resident's objection did include the fact that there is insufficient usable resident parking. It is not the case that residents won't park on their own property. Some simply cannot. Some garages are well below the accepted dimension of the Chartered Institution of Highways and Transportation and the Institute of Highway Engineers, who state that the minimum garage size for an average-sized family car is 7 by 3 metres internal dimension and should allow adequate storage. Any smaller and the garage should not be considered a parking space or count towards the parking space allocation. Many of the garages first built fall well below this spec. Under the present covenant, garages must be able to garage a car. This is of little use if the garages are in the first instance too small. These are family homes, so it is reasonable to expect that the cars will be family cars. Indeed, Charnwood Planning Enforcement notices a garage recently inspected was only suitable for a modest-sized car. The suggestion by the developer to residents that they should buy smaller cars is unhelpful. Secondly, some driveways are difficult to access and too narrow. The resident's submission gives 15 comments outlining problems. A more recent comment states, "Thank goodness we managed to sell when we did, as there was no chance of putting cars in those garages or on the side driveway. They are too tiny. Beautiful looking houses, but no common sense." If the application is accepted in its present form, then there can only be one consequence. Residents with such limited parking will be forced to park off-site on Loughborough Road, and this is what the developer has told residents they must do. A bitter pill to swallow, since many were led to believe from the point of sale that the car park was for their use, and particularly hard in view of the £400 to £500 management per house paid to Blackhawk each year for the upkeep of roads and communal areas. Since parking is time sensitive, the true picture cannot be seen in the middle of a working day. A survey on four consecutive Friday evenings found that of an average 14 cars, 8 to 9 were residents who were not able to park on their property. These would be forced to seek parking on Loughborough Road, adding to the terrible...
You have 1 minute.
Thank you. Terrible congestion, road safety issues and be of considerable annoyance to Loughborough Road residents. The Highway Department's comment that the development is unlikely to lead to parking issues within the highway is mistaken. As the remainder of the houses are happily at last to be built, it is obviously that there may be need for the extra parking already shown on the submitted plan and the builder's commercial website. I would, with respect, ask that you please consider making the parking spaces a condition of park planning and amend the permission sought to parking for visitors and residents, thus ensuring adequate on-site parking and thereby the safety of nearby highways, particularly Loughborough Road, now and indeed for the future. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Pat. Mr. Hackett, please. Do you know the drill?
I do.
Thank you. Make sure you switch the microphone on.
It's still
speak
off.
In the, I'm speaking to the microphone, they can hear you at the back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. When you're ready, Mr. Hackett, thank you.
Good evening. As you know, the Waterside is a private estate. The initial concept proposed by the company was a radically different approach to planning guidelines at the time, to return to a truly inclusive and intimate village atmosphere, both in scale and design. This was and has been fully endorsed by the authority throughout. A defining principle of the original and subsequent consents agreed with the authority was very clear, that the overall design would favour pedestrians, the vehicular intrusion would be minimal, and that residents' vehicles would be concealed in their own drives and garages. Thus, from the outset, ample parking within each dwelling would be integral to the whole concept. Any further dedicated parking on the development would be for visitors. Purchase contracts thus included clear and unambiguous covenants setting out rights, responsibilities and obligations of residents. Customers, moreover, have been fully aware of the size and number of parking spaces included with their property before they sign their contract. Planning conditions have also been clear and not open to interpretation. I quote an example. The integral garages and detached garage shall be kept available for the parking of vehicles of the occupiers of each dwelling and shall not be obstructed. They shall remain permanently available for use as such at all times. Another example, neither dwelling shall be occupied until such time as the garage for it has been provided, is available for use, and the drive for it has been hard surfaced. Thereafter, the respected garage and parking area shall be available for use at all times. It is therefore obvious that the authority have recognised that to preserve the integrity of the original concept and protect the amenity that residents bought into, these conditions must be adhered to. We cannot therefore entertain a situation where a minority of residents choose to use their garages for storage, leisure activities, or convert their parking area for other uses, in breach of both planning conditions and covenants, then claim they have nowhere to park their vehicles. It must be made very clear that no resident has ever been given permission to park permanently on the visitor parking area. Neither has any resident ever been given permission to change the use of their garage or parking bay. We do not have the authority to give it. Members may be aware that attempts have been made recently to have these parking conditions waived, or even annulled, for personal convenience, to the great detriment of the majority who rightly expect their legal and contractual rights to be protected. Members will, I hope, agree there can be no half measures here. What applies to all must apply to the individual, and vice versa. Lose this principle in a closed environment such as this, and you destroy the whole concept. Upon completion of this development, there will be a total of 117 dedicated parking spaces for 47 houses. Each property has been given a minimum of 2 spaces. Some have 3 and some 4. This is independent to that of the visitor parking, which already provides 22 spaces. The Waterside is a unique riverside community, celebrated for its intimate character and charm, and indeed has been the winner of a National Design Award, amongst others. We are understandably keen to complete the development using the same principles as when it was first conceived, and which have drawn so many customers to want to live there. Thank you.
Mr. Hackett. Councillor Shepherd, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good evening. I'm speaking on behalf of my colleague, fellow ward councillor, David Slater, as well as myself, and David's withdrawn, as you know. David and I have been approached by residents, and also recently we toured the development with Mr. Hackett. And we've brought this to a committee because we think there are one or two issues that the committee should take a view on for the sake of clarity. I think if I could ask you to look at the very last page of your agenda, not quite last, no, page D13, it's recommendation number 8, which talks of additional car parking before the 8th dwelling is occupied, and also refers to a condition that the parking is for some parking is available for visitors to the marina only. Visitors to the marina only. It would be really very, very helpful for the pleasant completion of what is a lovely development if that particular condition could be just revisited this evening. In particular, if the condition which stipulates that only visitors and marina users may use the additional car park were removed, that's the first thing. And secondly, if there were a requirement for the additional car park to be provided not by the completion of the eighth house, but by the completion of the first house, or indeed of the first house. The additional parking proposed is an extension of the existing car park. And to suggest that because it's on a floodplain, it isn't suitable for residents to use seems rather absurd to residents themselves. They know perfectly well what the water does and can act accordingly. Additional parking is also required to be available to all because, quite simply, residents are finding that some of the garages provided just actually are not big enough for their vehicles. You had reference just now to the comment, buy a smaller car. Well, this is entering the slightly ludicrous stage of discussion, but the fact is that I think we all know in many developments, garages may be as legally required by planning conditions, may not in practice be all that big. The public interest in this, of course, is the impact on the public highway and the necessity that will arise for residents and visitors to park on the public highway to the inconvenience of other road users. I know this is complicated by it being a private development, privately managed, and the management, I know, are able to, if they wish, change some rules, and I know have a risk of being in conflict with some residents. And those are, I appreciate, their issues. The issue before yourselves is whether you feel you can assist in the smooth running of this delightful development and assist in residents' amenity by addressing the issues raised by that particular condition, number 8. Specifically, to make the proposed additional parking available for residents as well as marina users and visitors, and to require additional parking to be provided, and I'll get this right in a moment, to be provided prior to the occupation of the first dwelling. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much, Councillor Shepherd. Now, colleagues, at present, I have 4 councillors who wish to speak. Councillor Bentley, Councillor Seaton, Councillor Gerrard, and Councillor Fryer. Thank you, Dan. And to those, I have now added Councillor Grimley, Councillor Jones and Councillor Snart. Would anyone else like to be added to the list at present? Very well then, Councillor Bentley, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I've been onto this development before, not today, but we have been there previously with the Plans Committee. And I have to say, it's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful size. I think it must, if this was the benchmark for developments in Leicestershire, it'd be absolutely bloody marvellous. But unfortunately, not everybody has got this opportunity. But we're not here to discuss that. We're here to discuss the car parking. Would it be possible to change this so that, in fact, the residents could have that additional parking? Is it within our power, if you like, to be able to insist as part of this application that should happen?
It is, the Environment Agency haven't asked for the condition. It is an issue that we have identified as it is development in the floodplain per se. So we are trying to avoid basically cars floating down into the river, in effect, is at times of flood, and flood can be a sudden event. So there is a liability and a risk with allowing it for residents, because obviously flooding can happen when people are asleep. Having said that, as I said, it's not a condition of the Environment Agency. This is a condition of officers. So if you were minded to say we would like residents to have that ability as well, it would obviously only apply to the additional car parking spaces that are shown, not to the car parking that's already implemented. And I have to confess, I can't remember, because it was approved in 2010 as part of the marina development, and that's why I seem to recall the condition relating to that car parking was obviously related to the marina. So you could, it's perfectly within the rights to add in residents to the word of the condition if you wish.
Okay, I'd wish to, and on that basis I'd like to move off the recommendation.
Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you. I'd like to approach two things. One is the eighth dwelling, and could we reasonably change that to the first dwelling? Is that in our gift as well?
It's in your gift, but as I say, from our point of view, again, the issue is obviously deliverability of that, of those car parking spaces, and given the viability issues that we've been going through, the ability to deliver those additional car parking spaces has a cost associated with delivering that. So from our perspective, it's about delivering the houses as well as the car parking spaces, and the eighth putting it on as the eighth dwelling gave you more certainty that it would be delivered during the course of the eight houses being built.
Can I ask how many spaces are we talking about?
You are... Hold on. Where is it? Sorry. Just bear with me. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, where will there be parking in the meantime, then?
For the residents and visitors. So you've got all the car parking that's already there, I'll use the mouse. So this car parking here and these car parking spaces here already exist.
The other thing is, I would hate... Something as lovely as this development has obviously been thought out. They've all bought into the scheme. I listened to the developer saying that some people are using their designated parking area as something else, and they are using their garage as storage. So I would... hate to think that they would be using their designated parking space within their house as something else to the detriment of parking it elsewhere and taking the room from someone else. I realise that, I mean, if the car's too big for a garage, it's too big for a garage. And they can't get it in. It just seems a little bit rich that they've bought into this with their eyes wide open, and I think overlooking the width of your car as when you're presented with such a nice development to move into probably is an easy thing to do. So if we've got it in our gift to put the residents on there as well, probably that's one way of just making it a little bit easier. But I'd hate to think that they then started to use their garages as storage when they could have parked a car in there. Do you understand what I mean? I don't know whether if it's proved that your car is too big for a garage, then you can park elsewhere. And if you've got a driveway, like one of those houses we did see, if that's then changed into a patio so that they don't park the car there, I think I would object to that, because that is specifically for a car to be in.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. I understand that Mr Stray would like to come back on this one, please.
The only thing I was going to raise, and it's just to bear this in mind, I think, for members to think through, is that clearly if you move, obviously, the position on in relation to the condition, in relation to, the particularly, for example, the parking spaces, and then obviously residents are then using those spaces, the development has been proposed with the understanding that they will be visitor spaces. So then when there are visitors or marine users, then there's the potential for a backing up issue because of that, particularly if it encourages the then alternative use of the garages. So we just need to think carefully through the consequences of the change that's being asked for, because whilst it might be a short-term solution, as things evolve over the years, this could then create a similar problem, but for slightly different reasons, if you see what I'm saying.
Mr. Stray, do you need to come back on that? Thank you. Councillor Gerrard, please.
Thank you, Chair. Was the car parking, as it's planned now, was that down for in the original plans that was passed?
For the marina?
Yeah, all round there and...
No, Councillor, the additional car parking spaces on, shown on this site plan weren't part of the original 2010 permission for the marina.
Right.
So these spaces here and these spaces here were as part of the marina permission.
Yeah, but the rest wasn't.
So these are...
Extra
shown on the current plan.
Right, thank you.
Councillor Gerrard, Councillor Fryer, please.
Thank you. Just about the parking. If we start, I can see why people buy properties. If you buy a property, it's brand new, you've got your lawyers and everything, you are given two car parking spaces, one of which is an in garage or something, and the other one out. The marina and the visitors' parking, I think, is the most splendid idea, because a lot of developments have no visitor parking, and that causes even more problems. The other point is, one has to look carefully at the future, and I'm sure some residents would be very good now, use their garages and driveways, and when their visitors come, they'd use the visitors' car park. What I'm concerned about is that if all the car parking, then, which is for visitors, becomes available to residents... They park their third or second car there, toddle off on the train to London for a week, and that car is stuck. Or it's taking someone else's place for a facility. What I would also be worried about is, as been mentioned, that garages can be used for other purposes. A lot of other purposes do not require planning application, and it could be turned into a workroom, a study, playroom, and therefore you're reducing the car parking because you've been let title people to have use the visitors' car parking. This is the most fabulous estate. I think it's fantastic. People buy into it with their eyes wide open, but we've got to look ahead on the change of property use. I wouldn't mind seeing, for example, prior to the occupation of the eighth dwelling, I'm not saying it should be the first, second or third, but maybe it could be looked into, say, for the fourth dwelling or something like that, so that there is some money coming in as an income to make the car park. But I personally will be supporting officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Fryer. Councillor Grimley, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick one, just reiterating what was said earlier, which I believe is correct, that the original development was conditioned that the garages had to be kept used for car, had to be kept available for car use. I appreciate that probably think things have changed over the last 10 years or so, but that's something we can't really go on. People do go for bigger cars now, but you know, if you have a garage space, then you have to really cut your clock accordingly.
Have you finished, Dan, or are you going to... Thank you, Councillor Grimley. Councillor Jones, please.
Thank you, Chair. Hello. Thank you, Chair. I have 3 points of clarification, and I was going to propose an amendment which may have partly been covered by Councillor Fryer's statement. My clarifications arise from the representation by the resident, which I thought was very good, where they pointed out, first point, that the garages were not compliant with the 7x3 metre standard. And my first question is, are the new builds going to be compliant with the 7x3 metre standard in terms of their garages? My second point of clarification, do they all have driveways in addition to garages? The third point the resident made, which was there's a pinch point of Friday evenings. Obviously, I've been round on the site tour today. A bit like Councillor Bentley said, it looks like a lovely site with lots of room. But if we have photos of those Friday evenings, I would be interested in seeing them to see if that is a problem then. But partly picking up on what Councillor Fry said and what Councillor Seaton said and what Officer Thompson said, we have this duality where we're on this sort of cusp of change between building, then getting the money from things to then provide the infrastructure. But the garden suburb proposals we see coming forwards, we're encouraging that infrastructure before development. And we have this sort of duality. And I would like to propose that we amend it to the second dwelling. So they have the opportunity to build one, get some cash, and then provide the parking and not leave the other dwellings short. So can we amend 8 of D13 to be the second dwelling? Can I propose that amendment?
Thank you very much, Councillor Jones. Could one of our officers respond, please? Mr. Thompson?
Howdy.
Thank you.
The answer to that is the garages will be built to the standards. The standards set out by the Institute of Highways is not something that's replicated across the country. There's different standards for every council that you go to, and I know this to my... to my cost, because as members know, I've worked across the country on various kind of things. In terms of the parking provision, let's start with this. So each house has a garage or driveway. So for example, this dwelling here where my mouse is over now, there's a driveway and a garage. This dwelling here has this garage associated with it. Again, but these dwellings, if I go back to the proposed... have a drive-through, which is akin to, and you can't really see it on any of these ones. I'm just trying to see if there is an example that I took a photo of. It's, you'd be straining your eyes, but in effect, it's akin to these properties here and also these properties on the right-hand side. So it's a solution. It's a different solution to having a driveway and a garage as a separate entity. You have a driveway that goes underneath, basically underneath your house. I've been round and have seen quite a lot of these houses as part of my site visit. You can fit cars in it, and you can fit actually additional floor space or additional storage space if you're a little bit creative. In fact, I think if members may recall, they on the site visits, as we left the site, you saw a car within the garage with a load of storage above it. So I think from my point of view, as I say, the garages are big enough to put a car in. They're not the 3 metres by 7 metres. But as I say, that isn't a standardised standard across the country. It's not something that each county council have bought, or each council have bought into in itself. It is something that I know is being looked at,
but it's not at this moment in time, it's not a regulation that we could enforce. But as I say, you can fit cars in. I've seen on my site visits everything from a Jaguar XF to, I think it was a Ford Fiesta, the one in that. So a Jaguar XF is not a small car, so to speak. As I say, I think that answers all the questions. I will also point out that, councillors, the concerns about alterations and modifications. Condition 3, on this application, we are removing permitted development rights to do alterations to the properties. So there is no opportunity, well, we believe there's no opportunity to do that under the permitted development rights as set out on the conditions. So that would, again, add further control that any development. We couldn't stop a paved area being used as a patio, but we could stop development per se within the back gardens and conversions.
I believe another officer wants to speak to us, but I'm going to carry on for the moment. I have Councillor Stark next and then Councillor Bebbington. Councillor Stark, please.
I thought you said sharp. It's my age. Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Stark, I didn't get your name wrong.
Didn't you?
No.
Very kind of you. Very kind.
Would you prefer I called you David? David, please.
Thank you. Could I just ask officers, I can't get my head around why, if the occupiers of these 8 houses can't use this, the actual parking spaces, why is it tied to the actual houses? Well, they're saying the occupation of the first 8 house.
This is the extra
family. No.
It's okay. It's tied to the completion of the development. So, in effect, that we ensure that the car parking is delivered through the development process and that we're not coming back 10, 15, 20 years later to try and get the car parking implemented. What we have to ensure with any condition is to ensure that they are, that we have a time scale for implementation of the proposed works. So commonly you see no development shall commence until blah blah blah. That's the timing condition. So the reason if we put prior to occupation the 8th dwelling is to secure that it happens, and we're not talking about this issue in 10, 15, 20 years and it never happens.
All I'm saying is that this just looks as if we're going to get more visitors, and it doesn't actually help the occupation of any of the houses or the actual residents there. So that's how I see it, and that's why I asked the question. Now, for me, occupation of the 8th dwelling says that you could actually have 7 occupied, and the 8th takes ages. And I've had this before in terms of 106 agreements. And I think it's quite right that people are thinking about reducing that to a level which is probably between the 2 and 4 which have been suggested. I would also like to say that I agree with the proposer that we should, in these extra 10 spaces, the residents of the new properties may well, or the residents of the other properties, should be able to share those 10 spaces. And I could support.
Thank you, Councillor Snort. I have Councillor Bebbington, and then I have Councillor Grimley again. Councillor Bebbington, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very wary of getting involved in this. It's a private development. They've got covenants in place. And we're trying to use the planning process to change the details of a covenant that they've all freely signed to. I think this is a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And the idea of doing detailed design by councillors who aren't even architects, I think is crazy. The last parking space is actually a visitor's parking space, so I see no problem with it being tied to the last house. But the fact remains, you do need parking spaces for visitors to the marina. And there are probably also visitors to people in the estate as well, but they are visitors. And they all have plenty of car parking space for themselves. If they decide not to use that car parking space and use it for another source, then I'm sorry, why are we getting involved? I don't think it's got anything to do with us. I'm quite happy to propose that we go with officer's recommendation and leave it at that and not try and make minor changes to the thing, because we're likely to get it wrong more than we are to get it right. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Babington. Councillor Grimley, please.
Yeah, just going back to the conditions very quickly on here. I can't see anything on this new set of conditions that does have an insistence on garages being retained for parking and parking spaces. Are you happy to deal with part of the covenant rather than part of the planning conditions?
Condition three, Councillor, is modification of any type of part of the dwelling house. So that dwelling house covers the entire curtilage in effect. So the modification would include the garages and the parking areas as well. So in any development that would ordinarily be part of the permitted
Does that have to be brought into use before the dwelling is occupied?
The wording is a pretty standard wording for permitted development, what we call permitted development removal.
Yeah, that's
so
that's,
in effect, ordinarily, if you don't have that kind of condition on, you can convert your garage without needing planning permission.
You're happy that's strong enough to stop the garages being converted and for people to look at it and say, yes, that stops our garage being converted?
If you feel more comfortable, Councillor, we could put in there including conversion of the garage.
I mean, it just adds precision.
I'm not arguing with you, I think.
No.
It could add precision so that there's no confusion.
Mm. Yeah, I was just thinking it would save more confusion, later on in the day.
Okay, I think that's a good idea that Dan's just come up with, so I'm going to withdraw my original proposal and change it so that actually I'm going with officer's recommendation. I'd like to see the covenants being held in place so the properties, they've got those two car parking spaces, whatever they've been allocated, and those car parking spaces remain as car parking spaces.
Thank you very much. Very briefly, please, Councillor Gerrard, because we need to come to a decision. Thank you.
I'm happy with the new proposal. Thank you. I'm still seconding. Thank you.
Just the final clarification, and my colleague Catherine Harrison may want to chip in here, but just to be clear, in terms of the covenant side of things, the covenants, I think, would be with the developer and the buyers, so it wouldn't be something that the council would be there to enforce. It's a matter of the arrangements that's in place, but obviously that's what the developer is looking to do to cover the development, so I would imagine those covenants would be in place.
Exactly. With the planning permission, we can't do anything to alter any covenants or contracts or anything else that occupiers may have entered into with the developer. We can only it would be a breach of the planning permission, and we can't grant any greater rights to anyone to park. So that they're matters that would be elsewhere. Yep.
Just a clarification. I was asking for it to be added to the conditions, not the covenants. That's right, Chair. I'd actually asked for the a strengthening of the planning condition, not the covenants, which I think when we're told to discussion about the covenants being a private matter, which it is. I was asking for which the officer agreed that they could strengthen the planning condition rather than covenant.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley.
Yeah, I think Councillor Grimley is absolutely right. So move officer recommendation and just strengthen the condition to make sure that. I know this is a matter actually not for you, but for the developer in contracts with the people buying the properties. But if we just condition it as such, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. If you will excuse me for just one moment, I'm going to consult the officer. I want to be very clear about what we are agreeing on. Excuse me a moment. Right, I've consulted the best mind on the council, and Michael is now going to tell us what we've agreed. Thank you.
Thank you. As I understand what Councillor Bentley has just proposed, it is to accept officer recommendations with the amendment proposed by Councillor Grimley, which was to add some wording to condition 3, which specifically clarifies that the conversion of the garage is going to be withdrawn along with the other permitted development rights. If I can just seek some further clarification from you, Councillor Bentley, when you proposed made the original proposal, you also referred to making an amendment to condition 8, which is the one that deals with who may use the additional parking spaces. Are you happy that condition 8 stays as it is in the papers, or do you wish to keep that original modification?
I'm happy to leave it as it is in the papers.
Thank you. And then the final thing is, if that's what Councillor Bentley is proposing, there was some discussion around the table around amending condition 8 to change the occupation of which dwelling triggers that requirement. If Councillor Bentley is not proposing that, it would be then be for someone else to propose that as an amendment.
Councillor Jones.
Thanks, Chair. Just for clarification, I thought I'd proposed it, and I'm happy to propose it again if needs be to right. Amend that number.
Let me get this straight. We have a proposal from Councillor Bentley that we are going to vote on. Do we have a seconder for that proposal? Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Well, we also, right, shall we take that, can we, would we need to take them separately?
You would need to vote on the amendment first.
That's fine.
And Councillor Jones needs to clarify, change the
minutes. Right. So we need to vote on Councillor Jones's amendment. Does Councillor Jones need a seconder?
Yes.
Would you care to second that, Councillor Jones? Oh.
We need to know how many dwellings she wishes to change it to. Oh. First, and then we need a
you
second.
Ask. How many dwellings?
How many dwellings, and then we need somebody to second.
I am to ask you, Councillor Jones, how many dwellings you are proposing.
I
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I thought I specified. So in relation to 8 on D13, to change 8th to 2nd, line 1.
Still need a seconder for the amendment. I will second it myself. Let's get a move on. Thank you. So, all those in favour of Councillor Jones's amendment, can I have a show of hands, please? The amendment fails. Those against? Thank you. Any abstentions? Thank you, Councillor Harris. We now come...
So can I add... Can I leave it as it was?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's part of my proposal then. So we're leaving it as the 8th.
No, because what we're doing now is voting on your substantive proposal. So we have a proposer and a seconder. All those in favour, please. It's 11. All those against... You're abstaining, Council. Thank you very much, Councillor Harris. The application with the required amendments is carried. That wasn't so difficult, was it? Thank you very much, colleagues. Bye. Should we just get